Ephesians 6 says our fight is not against any physical enemy. It's against organizations and powers that are spiritual, and we are to stand firm. Welcome to The Invisible Realm with Troy Albano of Discipleship Duplication, equipping you to be God's warriors for battle against the forces of evil in the spiritual realm. You will learn to exercise authority from the position in Christ and to increase your faith so that you may fight not for victory, but from victory. This spiritual warfare training will give you the ability to stand firm and then to help others stand. Now, here's Troy Albano of Discipleship Duplication.
Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we see in verses 11 and verses 13 is to put on, to take up what? The full armor, the whole armor. Whose armor are we putting on? It's not our individual armor, it is God's armor. So if Christ is the head and we are the body, to put on the full armor of God is a corporate, a body matter. Not an individual matter. It's the whole body needs to put on the whole armor of God. If we're going to be effective in spiritual warfare, we're going to need to put on, take up, the whole armor of God. And that is the very body of Christ where he is head. I'm going to read a couple passages out of chapters 1 and 2 of Ephesians that will prove my point that this is not an individual matter, but a corporate matter. In chapter 1, it says in verse 3, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, plural. Verse 4, he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. Verse 5, he predestined us to adoption as sons. Verse 8, he lavished on us his grace. Verse 9, he made known to us the mysteries of his will. Verse 19, the surpassing greatness of power, that is of his power towards us who believe. Chapter 2, verse 5, made us alive together with Christ. Verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we can see that the book of Ephesians, when it comes to spiritual warfare, it's plural. It is a body matter. It is not an individual matter. Let's turn to Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. He put all things in subjection to his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we see spiritual warfare is fought corporately. If you want to be effective in spiritual warfare, it is a body matter, not an individual matter. So I call this spiritual warfare is not individual matter, but a body matter. And I want to talk about three things. One, what revelation? The body of Christ. Two, who is sending you? And three, whose side are you on? In Matthew 16 and in verse 13, Jesus is with his disciples and he asks, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Verse 14, and they said, some say John the Baptist and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus says to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answers, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. So we see that Peter had a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to Peter, but the Father who is in heaven, that he knew that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. What's interesting, although he had a revelation of Jesus, he did not have a revelation of the body of Christ, the church. You know, you can have a revelation of Jesus Christ, but not have a revelation of the body of Christ. Let me go on. In this chapter, Jesus goes on to tell his disciples that in verse 21, that he will be killed by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be raised up on the third day. But what's interesting, Peter goes on and Peter takes him aside and began to rebuke our Lord, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. He has a revelation of who Jesus is, the very Son of God, and now he's rebuking him to hinder him from going to the cross. Here in verse 23 it says, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Those are very powerful words to say to a believer. And he goes on to say, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. You see, Peter had a revelation of Jesus, but he tried to hinder our Lord to go to the cross. Why? Because he did not want our Lord to die. But it is the very cross of our Lord Jesus Christ being crucified as the once and for all sacrifice, the Lamb of God, being buried and then resurrecting and ascending and now enthroned and being seated at thy right hand of the Father, far above all principalities and rulers. The enemy is far below him, way below his feet. And we too are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You see, it was the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ that was going to give birth to the church. See, when our Lord was on the cross, out from his side was, he was pierced in water and blood came out. And then blood represents redemption. Blood represents redemption, and water represents life, resurrection. And Jesus came to this earth, and his whole purpose was to destroy the works of the enemy. And his eyes were directly like flint towards Jerusalem, because he knew he would have to go the way of the cross, because it was going to give birth to the church. And Peter was trying to hinder that. So Peter did not have a revelation of the church, the very body of Christ. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Now Saul's still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, verse 2, and asked for letters for him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. So here is Saul's conversion, and he is going to the road towards Damascus, and he's persecuting Christians. And all of a sudden, the Lord's mercy comes forward and interrupts Paul's travel. And we see the Lord shines forth as this bright light, and the Lord says, why are you persecuting me? See, Paul was persecuting the disciples of the Lord. At that time, they called them the Way. But Jesus says, you are persecuting me. He was showing Paul that it is the very body of Christ, the church of Christ, that he was persecuting. Because Christ is the head, and we are the body. The body of Christ, the revelation for us to see, is not just individual revelation of Jesus, but the whole revelation of Jesus is the body of Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 12, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Let's turn to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You see in these two passages that our Lord's purpose is not to be alone. This is not a lone ranger attitude. We have to be involved in the very body of Christ. It is the body of Christ together that is needed when it comes to spiritual warfare. Remember, I'm talking about spiritual warfare is not an individual matter, but a body matter. See, unless a grain of wheat, that grain, one grain is our Lord Jesus Christ, fell to the ground because of the mighty work of the cross, he died, but he had to die to give birth to many grains. That many grains, if it is grounded up into powder, it can make a loaf. And that loaf, that bread, is the body of Christ. And in John 3:16, he was the only begotten at that time. And let's turn to Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn of many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. You see, the only begotten was going to be eventually the firstborn of many. Not the only begotten, but now he will have, there'll be many brothers. It's amazing. See, the Lord's purpose was not an individual person. It was a corporate person, and it's the church, the body of Christ. Now, when it says the firstborn of many brethren, it's very interesting. He was the first of its kind, because Christ was never born. He always was. When he died upon the cross and he resurrected again, and he brought forth life. We too were crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ, seated with Christ in heavenly places. In resurrection, the church was born. But here, the firstborn among many brethren means that this is the first time that divinity became humanity. The Son of God is the Son of Man. Not only is he fully God, but he's fully man. He's unique, first of that type. He is the firstborn of many brethren. See, we are partaking of the Lord's nature. That's what it says in the Word of God, that we may partake in his divine nature. Also, Christ, we can partake of his very life, because Christ in us, the hope of glory, we now have his very life. This is amazing, that he is the firstborn of many, and we are the many. This is the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And the revelation is the very body of Christ. So you can have the revelation again of Jesus alone, but if you don't see the whole picture, the vision of the body of Christ, then our Lord would not have his full purpose accomplished. Remember, the body of Christ, he is the head of the body. And again, spiritual warfare is not an individual matter, but a body matter. Let's talk about number two. Who is sending you? Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. Now there were at Antioch in the church, now was there prophets, teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So in spiritual warfare, who's commissioning you? Who's sending you out? Are you being sent by God, working through his body, the church where he is the head? Is the church sending you out? Are you involved in a local assembly where they are sending you out? When you exercise spiritual warfare, are you being commissioned to fight the battle with the church, because we need that anointing? And here we see Barnabas and Saul being sent out. It's really important, because we don't want to go do our own thing, especially when it comes to fighting in the unseen realm if you're the only one doing it. You want the blessing of that local assembly. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Now, before I read Matthew 8 and verse 5, I want to clarify, when I mean being sent out, it is the body, that not necessarily physically you're going to be sent out, but when you are exercising spiritual warfare, is the body that you are involved in, the local assembly, are they one with you? Are they standing with you in whatever warfare you are battling? It's important that the whole body knows, so that you can stand together in prayer. Because again, spiritual warfare is not an individual matter, but a body matter. And you need the forces, the power of not just you individually, but the body. Because remember, the head of the body is Christ. So let's go to Matthew 8, and I'm going to start with verse 5. And this is about the centurion. He says this, "And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' But the centurion said, 'Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, And he does this. Now, this is really powerful because this centurion, he begins by saying, I am a man under authority. Verse 9. He knows what it is to submit under his commander's authority. Submitting under Christ's headship, which is his body, is really key. If you want the blessing, we have to learn to submit one to another. So that when we are submitting one to another and submitting under God's body, his assembly, then the whole body is standing with you when you are being sent out or commissioned or when you are exercising spiritual warfare against the forces of evil. This is really key, is to submit to your local body. It's very practical. So they all will stand together with you. Again, we're talking about spiritual warfare is not an individual matter, but a body matter. Number one, I talked about what revelation? The body of Christ. Two, who's sending you? And now I want to talk about number three, whose side are you on? Let's go to Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lift up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. You see, this is a really interesting passage because Joshua asked this captain of the host of the Lord, whose side are you on? And the captain, he said, neither. Why is that? Because I believe the captain of the hosts of the Lord here is our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Exodus 3, it talks about Moses when he went to see this burning bush. And it was God who says, take off your sandals because you are on holy ground. Same thing here. So this is the captain of the hosts of the Lord. It's not a matter of if he's going to be on our side or not. The key thing here is, are you on his side? He is the captain, the commander. Many times we ask the Lord, oh, come with us, be on our side. But no. He is the captain. We can't tell him what to do. His question was, he's on neither side. The question again for us to consider is, are we on his side? Because when you're on his side, then the whole army of the living God goes with you. Again, spiritual warfare is not individual. It's a matter of the body. You want and desire that the whole armies of the living God are with you when you go out in spiritual warfare. So I covered what revelation, the body of Christ. You can have a revelation of Jesus, but not have a revelation of the church, the body of Christ. Who's sending you? You want to be sent out, commissioned, set apart with your local assembly, standing with you in spiritual warfare. You don't want to be a Lone Ranger Christian because you will be picked off. And three, whose side are you on? It's not a matter of Christ and his army being on your side, the captain of the host of the Lord, but it's a matter, are you on his side? He's the captain. Again, spiritual warfare is not an individual matter.
We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. The good news is that we can put on the whole armor of God to resist evil and to stand. Are you standing firm? This spiritual warfare training on the invisible realm from discipleship duplication will help you clearly understand the unseen realm and the battle you face so you can fight from a position of victory. Troy Albano has a deep awakening to the spiritual realm and learned the authority that we have over demonic forces. He shares personal testimonies and he equips you to be awakened, aware, and to overcome in the battle. Visit discipleshipduplication.com to learn about his seven spiritual principles of warfare so that you may stand firm. Tune in next week at this time to be further strengthened. DiscipleshipDuplication.com. Christ is victor.